Thanks for tuning in to this week's message. For more resources and information about Cedar Valley, please visit cvchurch.org.
Turn your Bibles to Matthew 28, if you would, Matthew 28. And while you're turning there, I'll just tell you, today will be a very different service. It'll be a different. So if you're new, or if you're a guest, you're a visitor, it's a little different. It'll just be a little out of the norm, not a big deal. But we want to continue on the theme that we've been on. So Matthew 28, and if you get that to that point, would you just stand up for me? And we'll read the word together. If you're new, again, we don't up, down the whole morning. But when we read our primary text, that's the only time we stand. And it's a reminder to us. It's a reminder. This isn't just some book. This is God's word. This is God now. He's going to be speaking to a group of people in Bloomington, Minnesota. I'm in chapter 28. I'm going to start in verse 16. And it says this, then the 11 disciples, they left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. But some of them actually doubted. And Jesus came and he told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your holy word. Thank you, Father, that you've given us this. You've given us this word, and you desire to teach us from it. And so, Holy Spirit, would you open our minds now? Would you open our hearts? Would you open our eyes? Would you give us understanding of what you're saying to us today? God, would it just be one of those things that we just continue to marinate on after the service? So, God, do this all in a manner to glorify yourself. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. You all can have a seat. Well, I'm going to do this for starters. I'm going to recap. We've been in a four-week series called Multiply. It's Multiply. We finally got there kind of in week three. We'll highlight that again and then talk more about it today. But I want us to see kind of where we've been. One of the things we talked about when we started was that the American church has become very complacent. The American God is really comfort. And we've just kind of become resolute in our minds. We're just going to hang out. We're just going to be comfortable until we die. And then we go be with Jesus. And we said, no, that's not it at all. And so we need to get back into the mindset that we need to be taking ground for the kingdom. We're a mission-minded people. And we said, if we're going to do that, it's going to start with prayer. We've got to begin by praying. And if you remember this from week one, we said, we looked at a specific prayer in 1 Chronicles where Jabez prayed for blessing. He said, God, bless me, bless me, bless me indeed. God, give me more than I actually need. And we said that the important thing about praying for blessing, it's not wrong. God wants to bless his children. But if the idea is that we're blessed so that we have more stuff, now we missed it. We're to be blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. Secondly, he prayed for influence. And this is what we're really praying, that we would have influence for the kingdom, that we'd have influence in our homes, we'd have influence in our schools, we'd have influence in the community and in the workplace. We would have influence for the kingdom. Third, we prayed for presence, God's presence specifically, that God's presence would be with us, would be on us, that God would put his hand upon us, because the things that we're wanting to accomplish are way outside of what we have the capability to do. We need the presence of God. I always think of that Ephesians 3:20, where God says, look, I want to do more in you and through you than you could ask or even imagine. And so we're saying, God, put your hand upon us. Let your presence be with us. Let that be so. And then lastly, he prayed for protection. And we said the reason is because if God's blessing you and you're having influence and his presence is upon you, the enemy doesn't want you to succeed, doesn't want me to succeed, doesn't want us as a church to succeed. And so what we're praying for is protection from all evil. We said it's got to start with prayer. But then in week two, we kind of looked at this, that one of the things that's happened to the church, we talked about mission drift. There's been real mission drift. And this happens in businesses all the time, where you start out for this reason, and then over time, you just kind of do this, and you're way over here. And this isn't why you started. That's why you started. And a lot of the American church, that's the case. It's happened in the American church. And part of the reason is because we've forgotten who we are. Who are we? And so we talked about this from the very beginning. We asked this question, what does it really mean to be a Christian? It's not you any Christian because you're an American, right? I mean, it's not even because you happen to go to church occasionally. That doesn't make us a Christian. We said at the end of the day that to be a Christian is to be a disciple. That's what Christian, no, call yourself a Christian, that's fine, but understand what it means. It means that we're disciples. Well, then we ask the question, well, what's a disciple? Well, we said this, that Jesus' disciples study the teachings of Jesus so that they begin to think like Jesus, so that they act and talk like Jesus, and then get busy with the mission of Jesus. That's really what it means to be a Christian. And I just think we've lost sight of this at times. We talked about this. What does a Christian look like? That the primary hallmark of a Christian, a disciple, is obedience. We even said this, if you ain't obedient, you ain't a disciple. You're not a Christian. You can't just wear a label and not live it out. So he said that the primary hallmark of Christian was obedience. But we said there was a second one. And we said this, we said disciples make disciples. Let me say that again. Disciples make disciples. Yeah, we got to get back to that. We've lost our way a little bit there. And one of the problems is because, we'll talk about exactly why that is. But we've lost our way and we're no longer making disciples. And I've heard numbers that less than 20% of all American Christians have ever been discipled. Now we go to church. And that's part of discipleship, but have we really been discipled? Okay, so we're going to get to that today. We've called today the how of discipleship. So before we do that, we're going to play a game show. And I've always wanted to be a game show host, and I thought, well, this is the perfect time. And so in just a second, I'm going to put picture up on the board. And you got to tell me what it is. You got to see, can you figure this out? Do you know what this is? So if you know what it is, like there's major prize, not really, there's a major prize, and first one to shout it out gets the prize. All right, ready? No, I didn't put it up yet. No, just relax, man. Okay, now, you ready? Yeah, I know, you looked at the board. Y'all cheated, I know that. So, everybody knows what that is. Like, you'll know what that is, washer and dryer, right? How many people think a washer and dryer is fairly important? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you actually know how to use a washer and dryer? How many of you use a washer and dryer? How many of you think that most people should wash their clothes eventually, right? Okay, so true story. I don't know how to use our washer and dryer. And I'm saying honestly, I seriously don't. We moved into this house about 7 years ago, and it's got this crazy high, whatever it is, washer and dryer. It's made in like, I don't know, it's not something that we would ever Kimmy, you're bougie. Kimmy would buy it. Kimmy, you're bougie. You're bougie. I would never have bought it. I'm like, it's made like New Zealand. I don't know what it is. And I seriously don't know how to use it. And I'm sticking with that for right now. I don't know how to use it. So for about the last 7 years, because I don't know how to use the washer and dryer, I haven't done laundry in like 7 years. I haven't done it because I don't know how. That's why. Okay, my heart's in the right place. I just don't know how. But this is what I think. This is what I think. I think this is very much like discipleship. I think this is exactly like discipleship. I think we all know about making disciples. I think we all believe in making disciples. I think we all think it's important to make disciples. I think we're all on board. I think the challenge is we don't know how to make disciples. And so because we don't know how to make disciples, we just flat out don't make disciples. That's where we're at. Again, if less than 20% of all American Christians have actually been discipled, how would you know how to make a disciple? All right? So that's what we're going to get to today is actually how to do it. We're going to put hands on, and we're going to work this out, and you'll see it before we leave. So let's look at our passage first, just for review, one more week. Jesus comes now after his resurrection. He hasn't ascended back to heaven. He's walking the earth for 40 days, and he goes to the disciples, and he says this, I, Jesus, have been given, God gave him all authority. We've talked about this authority and how important it is that you have authority and that we've all done stuff and we know we didn't have the authority to do it or somebody's told us to do stuff and we're supposed to go do it, but we know they don't really have the authority. And so Jesus is saying, I have been given by the Father, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, he says, go. Now remember this, we said this last week. If you have the sentence, go, what is the understood subject? You. What he's saying here is, therefore, I've been given all the authority, I'm giving it to you, therefore, you go, and you make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're commanded to do. This is what's known in Scripture as the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. What does that look like? Well, then he goes on and he says, teach these new disciples to obey what? All the commands that I've given you. Obey all the commands. That's what we're to do in discipleship. We teach the commands. We teach the Scriptures. We walk them through it. He goes on further and says this, and be sure of this, I'm with you always. Why did he bother to say that? Because he knew how tough this was going to be. He knows that it's a challenge. He knows that sometimes we're scared. He knows that oftentimes, needlessly, we feel inadequate. And so he says, you don't have to sweat that. I'm going to be with you. And so I want to talk first about just a few things that you should be thinking about when you think discipleship. Number one, when you think discipleship, you should always think groups. Think groups. Think groups when you think discipleship. And there are a number of reasons why, but let that just be your prevalent thought. Listen to what Timothy was being told by Paul. Paul was kind of mentoring Timothy, and Timothy was his protege, the young preacher. And in 2 Timothy, Paul tells him this, you've heard me, Timothy, he writes him this letter, you've heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Think of a group, right? Now, teach these truths to other trustworthy people, plural. Think of groups. And then he says those people will be able to pass them on to others, plural. When you think discipleship, you think groups. Not so much one-on-one, although that can be, but you think groups. Why do you think groups? Very simply, when you're in a group, right, you have different perspectives coming from different angles. And so you'll read the word and you'll study the word and you'll talk about the word, and this person will have that perspective, and this person will have this perspective. And you'll read something, you'll hear something, and it didn't click with you, but when somebody else said it, you're like, well, that gave me a different understanding. That's very interesting to me. I hadn't thought of that on my own. When you think discipleship, you should think groups. You know that recent research shows us that the most effective learning of any subject happens in groups. And so number one, when you think discipleship, start thinking about groups. Do you know what our model is here at this church? Our model is groups. We do groups. Now, FYI, when I first started this church, I wasn't on staff yet. When I first started coming to this church, many of you would have been here. This was a heartbreaker, I know. We did classes. We had all kinds of classes. Classes are awesome. Groups are actually more effective for discipleship. Classes are great, and someone will get up there and teach. We think that's great. But the problem is, it's all one way. And there's not enough interaction. Years ago, I took a three-day workshop. Bob Pike is a big training group. They're over in Eden Prairie, and they do all the corporate training. So, for instance, you might be they have the Kellogg's account, and so if Kellogg's Corporation says, "Hey, we need to do training for our people," then they'll go to the Bob Pike Group, and Bob Pike Group will say, "Well, we can just write the curriculum. Oh, here's what we can do: we can write the curriculum, and we can train your trainers. Here's what we can do: we can write the curriculum, and we'll just come in and we'll do all the training." And that's what they do. Right, that's what they do nationally. They do brands like Coca-Cola, those kinds of things. So I was at a three-day workshop just to learn. It was called Train the Trainer Boot Camp. And what they do is they start by studying how do adults learn. Like, doesn't that just make sense? First, let's look at how adults actually learn, and then they teach based on how adults learn. The classical model, like the old model that most of you and I have sat under, is the teacher's up here, and they're 90% of it. And the student is 10%, right, with that kind of input. And they flip it. So the teacher gives information, and then they go to work. And so we were there for 3 days, and at the end of it, then, as always, they always have you, all right, we're going to discuss what went on over the week. We're going to talk about it. And they just said, give us your feedback. How was your experience? And people were commenting. And finally, one guy raised his hand, and he goes, I mean, I guess I learned a lot. I mean, that part of it was great. I just don't feel like you really did anything. Like, exactly the point. Because when you hear something, and then you all get to discuss it, and you hear different perspectives and different angles, you learn really effectively. So I would just repeat this again. When you think discipleship, Think in groups. That should be your first thought. You're thinking in groups. That's why we've gone to a groups model. And a point of interest, the reality is I probably wouldn't be the pastor here if it weren't for classes. Because it's the reason that I got so ingrained in the church is because I was teaching a class. I love classes. Classes are great. They're not anything like groups when it comes to actual discipleship. And one of the pushback that I get from church folks is this: oh, pastor, just give us more teaching. Just give us deep teaching. Just give us deep teaching. Y'all know what I'm about to say, right? But we've met people who have had enough teaching and need to start doing. Right? He says, the scripture says, don't just hear the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Yeah. And so classes are great, but if we're going to talk about discipleship, nothing compares to groups, okay? So number one, you think groups. Number two, when you're thinking about discipleship, think questions. Think questions. This is a hard one for us. Think questions. Think about Jesus and all the questions that Jesus asked. Do you remember some of these questions? He said to the disciples, hey, who do the people say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Hey, some say you're Elijah. And then Jesus said this, who do you say that I am? Now, that's a good question. Because when he asks the question, they're like, they got to think, right? He comes up across, Jesus comes up to two lame men, two guys who can't walk. And he says, hey, what do you want me to do for you? Well, what do you think we want you to do? Like, that seemed pretty obvious, right? He asked the question. You tell me. You tell me. Right? He says to the people at that time, why do you guys call me Lord, 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 but you don't do what I say? Now, he didn't just tell them what to do. He asked them the question, and then he let them ponder on that for just a bit. And then you remember to Peter, finally. He says, Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, 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 you know I love you. You know you love me. I love you. And how many times did he ask him? You tell me, how many times? And he just keeps asking the same question. And each time he asks it, Peter has to think. When you're thinking discipleship, I think the natural tendency for a lot of us is we just want to give answers. We want to become the teacher. And you really have to fight that. But if you're going to make disciples, you got to think about questions. You know, sometimes people ask, we talk about this in Alpha all the time because our Alpha table leaders are awesome and they just have gotten so good at this. But people ask you a really good question. You know, oftentimes what Jesus did, right? They say, hey, what do you think about this? And you're like, that's a really good question. What do you think? Right? Think questions. Think questions. We say this all the time. Discipleship is more about asking than answering. It's more about asking and bringing the word out of them. And I'll show you why we feel really comfortable about that. Because we said, first of all, it's groups. Second of all, it's questions. But third, you got to think, study in the Word. Now, I'm going to say this, and this is especially true for men more so than women. A lot of discipleship, believe it or not, for men, comes because we work side by side. Because that's just how men do. Like, guys don't generally say to one another, hey, would you like to get together and talk about your feelings? Like, we don't say that. Men don't typically say that, right? But men will work side by side, and some discipleship really takes place when you're working side by side. But real discipleship, you have to be in the Word. So I'm going to walk you through an exercise today. And before I walk you through this exercise, I want to give you a really good resource where you can do it. It's called the Discovery Bible app. It looks like this on your phone. If you just pull that up, Discovery Bible app, that's the logo you want to see. And I would encourage you, download that really quick. It's really simple. It'll take you through this. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. We're going to start with this. Now, if you're online, a P.S., by the way, I didn't mention this because I didn't say good morning to the online crowd. And I did want to touch on this because when we talked about the church giving generously, you all need to know this. Our online crowd, they're generous and they give. And I want to applaud you all for the giving that you've done and the way that you're bought into the mission. Some of you just can't be here, and I get that. But we love you. We appreciate you. We're hoping that you can come and join us. But I want you to participate in this with the rest of us. So in a second, here's what's going to happen. We're going to put a passage up on the big screen in just a second. And when we do that, you guys at home, you'll be able to hear me, but you won't see us, right? But I want you to participate. So what you all are going to do is you're going to work. I told you this would be a little different. You're going to work with one or two people that are next to you. I wouldn't have more than three just because of time. So I would find, right, just look for one or two people. You might need to move a seat. That's okay. But you're going to work with one or two people, so you might have three at the most. And we're going to go through this together, okay? So I'm going to have them put the passage up. And I'm just using a short passage. This is Ephesians 2. It's verses 8 through 10, and I'll read this to you. God saved you by his grace when? When you believed. When you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift, and it's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the things that you've done. So none of us can boast about it. We are actually God's masterpiece. God has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Okay, now if you're at home, if you're here, take just a second, and this is what I want you, and this is how I would do discipleship. I'd have a group. I'd have three of us. I'd have four of us. I'd have five of us. I'd have maybe up to eight. Much more than that, it's hard to get in all your thoughts. But this is exactly what I do. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dig into this. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for this passage. God, we're asking, would you teach us from this? Would you open our eyes, Holy Spirit? Would you teach this to us as we work through this passage? And we're asking this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what I want you to do, I want you to just read through that passage again by yourself. Just read through it again. If you're at home, do the same thing. If you're at home, just read through it again. Okay, now this is what I always do. I want you in your groups to talk about it, and each of you can take a turn. I'm just going to cut you off when I cut you off, so if you didn't finish, don't sweat it. What I want you to do is, with the person you're discussing with, your job right now is just, in your own words, recap that. Just give it a recap. Here's what it's saying. Blah, 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 blah. In your own words, just go right now. Just recap it. If you're at home, I hope you have somebody with you. If you don't, just recap it. What are your thoughts? What did that passage mean? Okay, if you didn't get all the way done, don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. I let you. We almost had a revolt. I know. So here's what you're going to do next. The next step would be this. You're going to always answer four questions. If you pull this app up, and the app isn't magic, but if you use this app in your phone, it'll give you all of these for each one, for each lesson that they have. Here's your first question. Ready? What does that passage tell you specifically about God? What did it reveal to you about God? Answer that in your group. If you're at home, you're doing the same thing. If you're at home, what did this reveal to you about God? Okay, I'm moving on. Here's question number two. Here's question two. You already answered, what does it reveal to you about God? The second question you want to answer is this. What does it reveal about man or mankind or me? What does this reveal about me or about man? Answer that question. Okay, here's question number three. And this is really important, really important. Question number three. Question number three is this. If this is really God's word, if this is really God's word, what do I need to do? All right, have at it. All right, I already know I'm not giving you enough time, but I'm going to get you the fourth question. Here's the fourth question. Always, always, always. Who am I going to tell? Who am I going to tell that to this week? And you may have a specific name in mind. Oh, you know who needs to hear this? I won't give you time for this one, but I'm just saying, you need to be thinking about that. Who needs to hear this? Who do I need to tell this to? Now, in truth, when you get together, let's say you get together every week, the next week, the very first question is always this: how'd that go when you told them? Tell me how that went. So there's some accountability. Okay, now let me just rip through these for you really quick. Number one, I said, what does this tell me about God? What this said to me, and your answer doesn't have to match mine. This said to me that God is a God of grace. Our God is all about grace. You can't earn salvation. If you're here this morning and you've never made a commitment to Christ, here's the good news. You don't have to earn it. You can't possibly earn it. It's a gift. Nobody in here gets to brag about it. That's what it told me about God. Number two, what does it tell me about me? Well, at the very end of that, it says that He saved us because He's got work for us to do. He told us that. God hasn't just saved us so we can sit around and be comfortable. He saved us unto good works. That's why God has saved us. That's what it told me about me. So question three was, if this was really God's word, what do I need to do? And my answer was this: I better start praying and figuring it out. God, what do you have for me? I better get my eyes open. I better be looking. God, what do you have for me? What am I supposed to be doing? What do you want me to step into? In the morning, I pray about that. God, what do you want me to step into today? God, what do you have for me this week? God, what season of life am I in? Where am I going? Would you reveal that to me? Because I know I'm here to do works. And the last one is simply, who am I going to tell? Who am I going to tell? And you're going to have somebody. And next week, I know somebody's going to ask me about it. So I've got to tell them this week. All right? If you just went through, you just discipled someone. And if you use that, you can use it. Just go through a book of the Bible, and you can just break out passages. But if you go through the Discovery Bible app, it'll give you the chapter. Now, it'll give you a full chapter when you're writing, when you're doing narrative. Narrative are books like Genesis and Exodus, and right? It's like the Gospels are all narrative. They're telling story. When you read letters, like when you read Ephesians, that's a letter. You break that into sections. You can do that. But the Discovery Bible app will walk you through that, and it'll give you the questions each week. It'll lay them out there. When we get to question number two, everybody knows what the question is already. You know where we're at. And so the beauty of it is anybody can lead a discipleship group. Now, let me give you just what I would call the three, I call these the three shuns of discipleship, just things you should be thinking about. These are the three shuns: expectation, multiplication, and excavation. Here's how it works. Number one, expectation. When you're discipling, you should expect changed lives. You should expect transformation. You should expect obedience to God's word. Expect that from the get-go. Expect that lives are going to be changed. This is God's word. It's not about you. Remember, Paul told the church in Rome, look, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know why? Because it, the gospel, is the power. That's the power. That's the Spirit of God moving and working. You don't have to feel like, oh, I'm not a pastor. Oh, I didn't go to seminary. Doesn't matter. We're called to make disciples. Each and every one of us, we're commanded to make disciples. Right? You should expect obedience. You should expect transportation. Number two, expect multiplication. Our groups are already set up that way. Now, I know sometimes you get really close to the people that are in a group with you, and I get it that you want to be lifelong friends, and I would encourage you, be lifelong friends. But you now got to go make disciples. Jesus didn't say, hey, let's just keep our little group together. Let's just keep together here, fellas. No, he didn't. He did what? He sent them. He spent 3 years discipling them and then sent them. And so from the very beginning, when you start with a disciple, you know what you plant in their brain? Brother, it's going to be about another 6 months, and then you're on your own. Because you got to go find somebody. Start praying. I'd tell them that early on. Start praying. Who are you going to go disciple? We have to plant seeds that they're expecting multiplication. Our groups here are set to multiply. It's the way we're all set up with our coaches and our group leaders. And so if you're in a group and you've been in that group for a long time and God puts it on your heart, time to multiply. We applaud that. We celebrate it when there's multiplication. Expect multiplication. And then the third one is this, excavation. Groups are places of excavation. We dig into God's word. We dig up truth. We don't try to give everybody answers. We're expecting that as they dig in the word, God is going to reveal truth to them. I heard a story by a missionary, unbelievable, in a foreign country. And she told the story that they were doing this. And they were going through the word, going through the word, going through the word. And she's got this group of disciples, a small group, about four or five men that she's discipling. And they got into it one day and they went through, okay, what does this tell me about God? What does this tell me about me? If this is really God's word, what do you need to do? And you know what he said? I need to stop beating my wife. She said, I didn't tell him that. I didn't tell him that. In his culture, that's just the way he had lived. That's just the way he lived. He read the word of God because it is the power. He read the word of God and he just said in his mind, I got to stop beating my wife. Man, are we expecting that? Do we expect transformation? Do we expect total life change? Don't give answers. You don't have to have answers. That's the beauty of it. The word of God holds that. And the Spirit works through the word of God. Right? I'm telling you, man, God is doing something at Cedar Valley. And I think you all know that. God is doing something powerful here. And his Spirit is working in and through this place. And if we're going to take ground for the kingdom, it's going to be through multiplication. Here's our big so what this week, is that multiplication happens when discipleship happens. We're about multiplication. We want to see multiplication. That's the way God worked. Be fruitful and multiply. Yeah, be fruitful and multiply. That's the way that God worked. I'm telling you, it's happening here, and we're experiencing it, and we are on the inside, and we're watching it happen. And now we got to get busy. We got to get busy. So I'm going to tell you this. It's going to start with this. You start praying right now. Start praying right now. God, who am I going to disciple? And very likely, it's going to be a person that you work with as you start spiritual conversations. Right? I've said this over and over and over, man. Something comes up in their life. Can I pray for you? No, I don't want anyone to pray for me. I don't like that. No one says that. There's an old saying, we say this, there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. Man, when bombs are flying, anybody will take prayer. One of my closest friends, he'll always tell me, he calls me Archie. Archie, I just don't believe in God. I just don't believe in God. And when he was in the worst time of his life, I said, T, can I pray for you? Yeah, would you do that? Nobody says no. And now you can start spiritual conversations. One of the spiritual conversations that I'm hoping you're all having very soon. Hey, what are you guys doing for Easter? What are you doing for Easter? You got to come to church with us, man. You got to come to church with us. Just once. Just come to church with us once. We'll take you to lunch. You get that opportunity right now. We're right in the midst of it. And it's not all about just getting people to church. It's about making disciples. But what I'm telling you is sometimes we just bring people to church. That opens the door for all spiritual conversations. What did you think of church? How was it for you? Did you go to church growing up? No? You ought to come back with us. We want you to come back. Right? Start praying right now. God, who am I going to disciple? Who am I going to disciple? Who am I going to disciple? You're in a season, man. 80% of the culture, 80% of the culture said they would go to church at Easter if they just got invited. And so, can I just give you this tip? Don't ask sheepishly. I mean, I know you'd never want to go to church. I know you wouldn't want to do that. Dude, you got to come to church with us. You have got to come to church with us. It's awesome. Like, say it like you mean it, right? Multiplication happens when discipleship happens. Multiplication happens when discipleship. We can do this. Church, we can do this. Not on our own strength, but as the Spirit works through us, as God works through us, we're going to make disciples. As we begin to make disciples, we're going to see multiplication happen. We're going to see it happen. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward. If you're on the prayer team, would you just come right up front? And look, the prayer team is here, man. This is their ministry, and they want to minister to you. And so some of you have prayer needs. You have real prayer needs. And so come up and pray with our team. Don't go home. Come up and pray with them. Let them pray for you. All kinds of issues, health issues or relationship issues, or just spiritual issues that you're going through. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's whatever it is. Come up and pray with our team, right? We're all going to leave and get a cup of coffee, and you come this way, and you get some prayer. And then if you're new or newer, maybe it's your first, second, even third time to Cedar Valley Church, but you've never been to our welcome room, it's right out these doors, my left, your right. You will not miss it. You'll walk right through those doors, and there's a big sign that says welcome room. And in the welcome room, you can meet a few folks from church. You can ask any questions you might have. And we've got a gift for you that just says thanks for joining us this morning. Really, really, really excited. Hey, a couple quick things I wanted to mention because I forgot early on. With this whole thing with this Christian school coming here, David, stand up. Where'd he go? He left. He was angry, and he stormed out. If you all see David Goal, would you just tell him how much you appreciate him and the work that he's done? He was here early mornings and late nights, just getting everything worked out. And the other person that I just want to acknowledge who worked so hard, many of you know Jeff and Maxine Lefebvre, and Jeff's gone to this church for over 20 years. I don't know if you guys are, you in your seat? No. Oh, there they are. Jeff's up there. Because Jeff was like, point me out. I want to be noticed. And I'm going to tell you, Jeff has been on our board and off our board and on our board and off our board. And Jeff's business is IAG, and they're a commercial real estate firm. And this became a labor of love for Jeff. And he has been working for over a year and just crazy amounts of work. And he's the one that helped us get this finally settled. So if you see either of those two, would you give them a huge thanks and let them know how much we appreciate them? Let's stand to our feet. We'll be dismissed. Church, I'm excited. We're going to see some disciples. It's going to be awesome. So, Father, thank you for this morning. I pray, Father, right now that you're putting people on our hearts right now. Right now, Holy Spirit, right now that you're giving us ideas. And then, God, I'm praying that you would give us divine appointments. Give us divine appointments as we run into our neighbors or coworkers, or we have an opportunity to share with them, invite them to church. Begin spiritual conversations. Begin the discipleship process. God, would you empower us? God, you say you want to do more through us than we can ask or imagine. This would be it, God. This would be it. Would you do it, God, for your glory, for your namesake, for your glory, God? Would you help us to make disciples? It's what you called us to. Would you help us do that? And then, God, when we're in those situations, would you give us your courage? Holy Spirit, give us courage. Give us wisdom and give us courage, strength. Give us boldness, God. Would you do that? And now, Father, as we leave this building, as we walk outside the walls, would you help us to go be the church to a lost and hurting world that desperately needs a Savior? We ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Have a great Sunday, everybody.